All right, guys, let's go ahead and get rolling. I know our announcements are a little bit longer than normal, but that's okay. By that clock, I still have like an hour and a half, so should be good. So my name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. I guess I'm the grumpy-looking gray-haired guy. So I go back and forth each week between our two churches. And so last time I spoke was 2 weeks ago, and I spoke on clicker problems. No. I spoke on the passage where Jesus went and called the disciples to come follow him. And Peter and Andrew says they left their nets to follow him. And I just thought that was kind of interesting how they had this choice to make if they could stay with their nets or they could follow Jesus. And when you think about it in those terms, well, obviously you'd follow Jesus. And so I said it was a no-brainer. It's kind of a duh moment where you look at your options. You're like, well, duh, it's obvious what I should do here. I should follow Jesus. And just talked about how we have choices like that in our lives to follow him or to hold on to earthly things. We looked at the rich young ruler and how he had an opportunity to hold on to his treasures, his riches on the earth, or he could follow Jesus and have treasures in heaven. And when you think about treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven for all of eternity, well, obviously the treasures in heaven would be the better option. But he missed his duh moment because he was so focused on his riches that he was kind of blinded to the benefit of following Jesus. And so when we looked at this passage, we really focused on this aspect of just leaving their nets. And today what I want to do is I want to focus on just following him. And really, this is the primary passage we're going to look at, really just those two words, just following him. What's that look like? And for me, I'll just be real open with you guys. I've been kind of discouraged lately. I'm usually pretty even keel. I don't get discouraged easily. But I don't know if it's just sleep problems or just, I don't know, allergies or just if it's truly something just kind of stirring in my soul. But I was thinking about this a week or two ago, and I just get discouraged with kind of Christianity, just faith. And it's like, why doesn't it seem to work quite like it should? Why does it seem a little bit broken? Why don't we see more change in people's lives when people become Christians that, you know, their whole life changes, that everything about them changes? And I was meditating on this, I don't know, about 10 days ago, and it's like, I've lost my faith. That's what I thought. It's like, that's weird. I've lost my faith. I've never thought about that before. And it's not that I've lost my faith in God. I still believe in God. I still believe that Jesus went to the cross for our sins. But it's like I've lost my faith that it's really going to make a difference, not because God doesn't make a difference, but because I'm just not sure that we'll follow him. And that's discouraging because it's like, man, I want radical change in my life, and I want to see radical change in other people's lives, and I want us to bring radical change to this city, and I want there to be radical change in Christianity. And so I see problems in my own life, and I see it just kind of in our church, and you know, we can look at stats, the difference between Christians and non-Christians and how they act, and it's like, I don't think Christianity's broken. I don't think God's way is broken, but just will we follow? And that's where I lose faith because it's on us. It's like, wow, I don't know if we will or not. And so this was what was stirring in my soul as I was thinking about this passage. And so I just want to share with you guys some of the stuff I was thinking about. And I found it kind of encouraging to myself, and I hope it'll be encouraging to you as well. So let's pray. Father, we do want to follow. We want to grow and to change. God, we're all here today because we're seeking you. And we want you to be a part of our lives. And so, boy, I feel like, you know, we're kind of here in kind of a good-hearted sort of way. And I think we all want to grow and change. I don't think any of us want to kind of be stuck in a bad spot or to be controlled, enslaved to a certain sin or something. But it's hard to follow. It really is. It's hard for me. It's hard for all of us. And so I pray, God, just as we think about these things this morning, just that you challenge us, that you would help us to see if there are any strongholds in our lives, any areas that we're willing to say, well, I'll follow you here but not there, or I'll give up this but not that. God, I pray that you would just rock our world. God, I do see different people and how you've changed them, and they are dramatically different as they followed you. God, I pray that would be true of all of us. And so I pray that you would stir our hearts here today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about the disciples. You know, they left their nets to follow. And James and John, of course, they left their boat and their dad and their nets. And so we have these four guys, and Jesus went around and kind of collecting these different disciples. And so I was just thinking, okay, well, what's that look like? Maybe he does that for a day or a couple days and gathers up. He's got his 12 disciples. And then, now what? What happens after that? So in my mind, let's say it takes all day long to gather up everybody, and at the end of the day, you got your 12. And it's like, okay, so that's about supper time. So maybe we'll start a little campfire and eat some fish. And I can imagine one of the disciples saying, okay, Jesus, you know, what's the plan for tonight? And he might say something like, I was thinking we could sit around the campfire, maybe worship my Father some. Maybe I'd share a few things with you guys, just teach you a little bit, and spend a little bit of time in prayer. And that's kind of our plan. It's like, well, that's not exactly what I meant. What's our plan for tonight? Like, where are we sleeping? Because I was thinking, we all just kind of got gathered together, and so we're all still pretty close to our homes. And, you know, in fact, my home's about 10 minutes away, and so maybe we could all just, like, go to my house tonight, or we could all go back to our own homes, because I know we're going to, like, start doing stuff and going out and serving people and ministering to people and stuff. And, you know, I think I'm really at my best when I sleep in my own bed. And I know that you want me to be at my best as I serve you. And just if I can have my own pillow, it's just, you know, the right amount of fluffiness. And I just sleep way better, and, you know, one for my head and one to hold and in my back. And, you know, there's all this stuff. So why don't we go back to our own places? And suppose Jesus goes along with this and says, okay, fine, for tonight, you guys can go back to your own homes. We'll meet back together here at 7 a.m. And we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to eat, and then we're going to go out to the marketplace, and we're going to just do some ministry stuff. And so 7 o'clock in the morning rolls around, and there are five disciples there. And so they start their prayer meeting, and as time goes, and they start coming up. And maybe one guy walks up. He's like, oh, man, 7 o'clock is really early, Jesus. And we're going to have to start meeting later than 7, because, man, this is just, I'm just not a morning person. You're going to have to get used to that, Jesus. And maybe somebody else walks up, and he's kind of got his hoodie on, kind of comes strolling up. He's 20 minutes late, pops out his earbuds, and, you know, you can hear death metal music screaming out from the earbuds. And, hey, Jesus, what's up? Doesn't even apologize for being late or anything. And maybe a couple guys are like, oh, sorry, we're late. 7 o'clock is really late for us. I mean, we thought we could get in a whole round of fishing before we came. And so we went out fishing with Dad again one last time. But we're here now, and we're excited about that. Maybe somebody would be like, hey, you know, where'd you sleep? Don't you live like 90 minutes away? Like, oh, yeah, I slept at a friend's house. Well, what friend? Well, just, you know, I have a good friend that lives close. What friend? Maybe I know him. Well, it's not a him. Oh, you slept at your girlfriend's house. Oh, yeah, but nothing happened. Well, I didn't mean for anything to happen. And so the morning kind of goes on, and they have their prayer meeting. Maybe one or two guys never even show. And then Jesus says, okay, so here's the plan. We're going to go into the marketplace, and there's going to be some, you know, poor people there, and I want you to go and to pray for them, and, you know, give them money if you have, or help them out, give them some advice. Get them some food. Maybe some sick people with diseases, maybe a few lepers will be kind of out on the outskirts. You know, just walk up to them, put your hand around them, pray for them. And I'm gonna teach a little bit. And as I'm teaching, you guys can kind of just work the crowd, just walk around. You know, if you see someone crying off in the corner, you just walk up and say, hey, what's going on? If you see someone really deep in thought, you can say, so what are you thinking about? And just try to talk to them about my Father. And we'll have some great conversations, and it'll be a really good time. I says, okay, so let's go. I'm like, Jesus, this is kind of hard to say, but I'm not, like, prejudiced or anything, but I just, it's just hard for me to be around poor people. I'm just really uncomfortable around poor people. And it just, I mean, honestly, it's just like, I feel like they're kind of there because they're lazy, and that's why they're in that spot. So it's hard for me. So maybe I could do something else. And maybe somebody else would say, you know, Jesus, I'm kind of a germaphobe. And I just, like, touching sick people, I mean, touching a leper, let's be real here, that ain't going to happen, you know. And maybe somebody else would be, I don't know, I wondered when you called me what you were thinking, Jesus. But, you know, I'm an introvert. And just this whole, like, going out into the crowd and talking to people, yeah, I don't really see that happen. Maybe the three of us, maybe we could, like, just kind of be on the outskirts and just pray for you guys as you guys do the ministry, and we can be like the prayers. And prayer's important, right, Jesus? And so that's what we'll do. And, man, I don't even know what he would say to that. So he'd say, okay, let's go to the market. And they all start going to the market. Jesus, I need to stop and use the bathroom real quick. And okay, guys, we'll all meet up at the market at 11. And then we'll do lunch together after that. So by the time they get to the market, there are five or six guys left again. And they do their ministry and stuff. And the other guys just don't even show. And as they're leaving to go get lunch, they see Matthew/Levi, and he's back in the tax collector's booth. And like, Levi, what are you doing? You know, I thought you were going to follow Jesus. He's like, oh, yeah, I got to the market here a little bit before you guys. And so my old boss was here, and the guy that was supposed to replace me, he didn't show up. And so he just asked if I could work one more day. And I thought, well, that would be some more funds for us so we can eat and stuff as we're following Jesus. And so no worries. I'm with you guys. I just got to wrap up some things here. Yeah, I noticed some of the fishermen, they're back fishing again today, too. And so yeah, I'm sure we're all in. Can you imagine that happening? And can you imagine that just ongoing through Jesus' ministry? I can't. I would think after a day or two, Jesus would be like, all right, guys, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. When I said, come follow me, I had something different in mind than what you guys are doing. I was thinking you would, like, follow me, like be with me, like all the time. And like when I said, hey, we're going to go do something, I was thinking you guys would be like, all right, well, let's go do that. And that you guys would follow my lead. You would let me coach you. Let me mentor you. And I know there's going to be some stuff we're going to do that you'll be uncomfortable with, but I was thinking that I would help you with that. And I would teach you, and I would help you have a heart for people. And you'd be able to think outside of your box and think outside of yourself to serve and to love people. That's what I meant when I said, come follow me. And I think that's what we miss sometimes as Christians is we get caught up in just eternal life. It's like, okay, I believe in Jesus, and now I have eternal life. And we stop there. And I think that's why not a lot of change happens in some people's lives, is because they become Christians, but they don't really become disciples. And we believe in Jesus, but we don't always follow him. When I was in high school, I ran track and cross country. Mostly cross country was just to stay in shape for track, but track season was, I can't even remember, it started in March or April or something, and so it was still kind of cold when we would first get going. And I remember one particular day we were going to do our workout after school, and we got together, and we knew the coach was going to have us run inside, so we already came up with a plan to talk to the coach. And he would have us run laps in the gym, go across the floor and up the steps and across between the bleachers and down the steps and then diagonal across the floor again. And you do this, and it's hard to pass people, and you get shin splints from running inside, and it's hot, and it gets stuffy and stinky, and it's just not fun. So a few of us who were kind of some serious runners, I guess. None of us were great, but maybe more serious than some of the rest of the group. We went up to the coach and just said, hey, coach, we're thinking we could go out on this run outside, and we could, you know, run out to the railroad tracks, this run that we've done before. We'll run out there and back, and we were wondering if we could do that instead of this workout that you have planned of running in the gym. And he was fine with that. He said we could go. So we went on, got on our good sweats, and went out, and we started jogging. And it's like, it's completely miserable out here. It was just, there's a lot of moisture in the air. It's against your skin, and it was windy, and we made it maybe a mile or so. We're like, this is foolish. What are we doing? And so there were five or six of us, and we turned around, and we went back to the school. But we knew we hadn't worked out enough, that that wasn't sufficient, and so we were going to come up with our own workout. And our high school was right next to our elementary school, and so we had this playground there that sometimes we would run sprints on the playground if it had been raining or something. And so we thought we would go and run there because we would have some of the shelter of the school building would protect us from the wind. And so we went and did sprints for a while and got in what we thought was a good, fair workout. And then we went inside. Well, someone had seen us out in the playground running and had went and told the coach, and that was fine because we weren't really trying to hide anything. But he called us over and said, "Hey, guys, where'd you go?" Like, "Well, we went on this run. It was cold and windy." He's like, "Well, I know. That's why we ran inside today." Like, "Well, so we came up with this other workout, and we did this other thing." And coach was like, "No, that's not how it's going to work. Because I want you guys to run 45 minutes of diagonals in the gym just like everybody else did." And I really appreciate where he was coming from because he's the coach. And he's saying, basically, I'm going to be the coach, and I'm going to call the shots, and I want you guys to follow me. And if you come up with something different and I approve, that's fine. But you can't just coach yourselves. You just can't come up with your own thing. You have to follow my lead. And I think we do that sometimes with Jesus, is we just come up with our own thing. It's like, "Okay, yeah, Jesus, I can appreciate it. That's a good idea. You have some good thoughts on what I should be doing, but I have these other thoughts, and this is the way I'm going to do it, and I hope you're cool with that." Maybe sometimes he is, and maybe sometimes he's not. And so I think we need to be careful of not just asking, what does following Jesus mean to me, but more of a, what does it mean to follow Jesus? How is he leading me? And I need to do that rather than just coming up with my own plan. Go back to the disciples on their first day. Suppose they had dinner, and then Jesus said, "All right, I want you guys to follow me out into this field," and he takes you out to this little meadow, and you get out there, and there are, you know, 12 student desks set up in a semicircle, and he's got a chalkboard sat in front of it, and says, "Okay, guys, here's the plan. Let's start off with the word disciple. Here's what it means to be a disciple. Here's what disciple is in the Greek. Here are a couple little quotes I want you to remember about being a disciple. Here's a funny joke about disciples. We're going to go out tomorrow, and we're going to talk to people in the crowd. Here are five things you need to know about approaching someone. Some of you are going to talk to people about heaven. Here's what you need to know about heaven. Here are the four main points." And that seems a little weird, right? I mean, Jesus taught the disciples, but not necessarily like that. And yet I think sometimes when we think about following Jesus, what comes to our mind is learning. I mean, just honestly, suppose I just gave a great sermon today, just an amazing sermon. Just in your inside, you're all stirred up and you're like, "Man, I'm fired up. I want to follow Jesus." What are you going to do? You're going to read the Bible. You betcha. "Man, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and read the Bible because I'm serious now." And that's great. I mean, we need to read the Bible. And that's certainly a great way to connect with the Lord and find out what he wants from us. And doctrine is an important thing. But it does kind of seem like sometimes the first thing we think about is I need to learn more. I need more information. I need to be fed. Rather than I need to follow. So sometimes I think Jesus leads us into things that are different than what we would naturally pursue. And I think the reason we pursue kind of the intellect and the knowledge is because that's easier. You know, what would the disciples rather do? Let's go to the marketplace and interact with the people in ways that we've never interacted with people before. Or let's sit and have a lesson and be taught by Jesus. I want to do the lesson. You know, it's just like prayer. Man, I would rather read a book on prayer than pray. You know, it's just my flesh doesn't want to do the spiritual things. It wants to do the easier things. Sometimes it's easier to learn and to tickle my intellect than it is to live it out. there's an interesting passage in Mark 5. There's this guy who's possessed by a demon, which seems kind of weird to us. I don't know that that happens a lot nowadays, or at least not in our country. But this guy's possessed by demons, and Jesus cast this demon out of him, which you would think for this guy would be this pretty big transformational change. I mean, wow. That's got to be pretty crazy. And so he, I don't know if you would say maybe he became a Christian at that point. I don't think that would be too far of a stretch. Certainly he believed in Jesus, believed in the power of Jesus, and he wanted to follow Jesus. I think that would indicate he probably had some kind of a beginner level of faith in what Jesus had done for him. And so this guy comes up to Jesus, and he asks if he could follow him. So he begged him to go with him. Jesus, please let me go with you. And here's what Jesus said to him. He said, go home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Now, it always bothers me when Jesus made the wrong call, because it just shows there's something wrong in my thinking, right? Because obviously Jesus did the right thing. He's Jesus. But in my mind, there's no way that's the right thing. It's like, what? I mean, why not? Why not go with him for a week or two? You know, he's been out, you know, living in a cave for a long time and stuff. His family could do another week or two without him. Why not just go and learn at Jesus' feet for a week or two and learn some stuff? But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus has some other thought than what I would think. And whatever his thought is, that's the right thought. Mine's wrong, but it's just hard for me to understand. And so I think about, okay, what's the bare minimum that you would want to teach someone in a spot like that? They're a brand new Christian and you're going to leave. How much instruction do they need? Bare minimum. 3 hours? An hour? I mean, something. You know, you don't want to say, oh, okay, well, that's great that, you know, these demons left you and you're in a new spot now. And so here's what you need to do is you need to make sure you're reading your Bible every day. You want to make sure that you're praying and you need to understand what Scripture is. And I want you to go into to share your story with people. It's called your testimony. And so here's what that looks like is you go and you tell them what you were like, and then you tell them how you got delivered, and then you're going to tell them what your life's like now. And then you're going to ask if they want to do the same thing. And so you teach them just some basic stuff and do it for, I don't know, 1 to 3 hours. It seems like that's the bare minimum. And this guy's a mess. You know, 30 minutes before this, he's running around naked. He's living in a cave. He's attacking people. I mean, he needs basic, just personal hygiene stuff. You know, hey, I want you to go out and reach people and I want you to tell your story. But first of all, you gotta take a bath and put some clothes on, will you? Brush your teeth, get a haircut. You know, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff you could teach this guy that would be super, super helpful for him. The guy wanted to follow Jesus. And in a way, Jesus led him. He said, well, you can follow me, but not by following me. Like, you can't come with me. But if you want to follow me, here's what I want you to do. Go back to your family. That's what I want. No instruction, as far as we know. And if there was, you know, maybe it was 1 hour of instruction or something. You can follow me by going back to your family. That's what I'm asking you to do. Wow, that is so different than how I would handle that, and I think how most Christians would handle that. And I think we don't think in terms of, okay, let's start on this journey of following Jesus. We think, let's learn about Jesus. And that's good too. But we can't lose sight of following Jesus. And Jesus just set this guy on this journey of, okay, well, here's what it means to follow me. Let's start with your family. Go back to your family. Go back there. And who knows God's plan there, right? Maybe the guy had some great spiritual background that he could fall back on. Maybe there was some friend he had who could teach him more about God, and he could learn some of these other things in different ways. We don't really know that. All we know is Jesus set him on this journey of, here's what it means for you to follow me, is to go and to talk to other people about me. To see change, real change in our lives, we must connect our serious disconnect. So if we have this disconnect of, well, to follow Jesus means just that I believe in him rather than that I follow him, just I become a Christian rather than I become a disciple, I think what happens is we get this disconnect of what we say we believe doesn't really end up matching our actions very well. Remember, as a kid, as a teenager, I grew up in a great Christian family. We were conservative Baptists, and our extended family was kind of conservative Baptists and a bunch of really good people. And I was living in some pretty hypocritical ways at the time as a teenager. But I also noticed some hypocrisy in my family and in some of the Christians in our church. And for example, I remember, I don't know why, but this really stood out to me as a kid. People telling about their experiences with phone solicitors and with other drivers and with sales clerks. And so they'd be like, oh, I was driving down the road, and this guy passed me and cut me off, and he flipped me off, and so I did this or I did that. And I went to return this blouse, and she said I couldn't return it, and I said, well, I have a receipt, and then she said this, and I let her have it. And I remember as a kid just listening to this, it's like, this does not make sense to me. There's a disconnect here. And I remember at one point in my memory just kind of politely being like, how does this fit with being a Christian? As a teenager, so I probably wasn't quite that subtle or that polite about it. And I remember someone saying, I think this happened a couple times, of someone saying something to the effect of, well, at some point you just got to stand up for your rights. Or at some point you just got to let them have it. And I was like, oh, wow. I totally forgot that verse in the Bible. You know, at some point you got to let them have it. Yep, there you go. I was thinking of the, you know, you should turn the other cheek thing. Or, you know, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, you should go with them too. But yes, let someone have it. That sounds a lot better to me. You know, and I can appreciate that, right? I mean, if someone forces you to go a mile after 100 yards or so, you're like, who are you to tell me what to do? You can't force me to go a mile. I'm done, you know? And there's just this disconnect. It's like we knew so much about God. We knew so much doctrine and we read our Bibles and stuff, but they weren't living it, and I wasn't living it. And there was just this level of hypocrisy and just a lack of following. And I don't like that. I for sure don't like it when I see it in other people, but I don't like that in my own life either. I don't want to be that person, and I don't want us to be those people. To see change, we must yield our will to his with the same seriousness that the disciples had. To be a disciple, to be a follower, what I've got to do is I've got to yield my life to him. I've got to let God, let Jesus lead me. I've got to stop just seeing myself as kind of just a Christian, but a disciple. I'm not just a believer, but I'm also a follower. And I think if we were, you know, literally following Jesus like the disciples followed Jesus, that would be real clear, because you would just be around Jesus all the time. You'd be thinking about that. You'd realize he's watching you, and you would know that there's an expectation there. But I think so often it's easy for us to lose sight of that and to just kind of drift through life, not really thinking about being disciples. I remember a guy one time, I can't remember if he called me or he sent me an email or something, but he's like, hey, do you have any ideas on, you know, where I could move? Do you know someone I could move into, somebody that has an extra room or maybe a house that they're out of the country or something? I'm like, what are you talking about? You're married and you have a wife and a house and a family. What's up? And so we ended up getting together for lunch and talking over this. And it was kind of a silly little thing. They had this fight, and he got really hot. And so he kind of stormed out of the house, and he's like, I'm leaving. And she's like, fine. And he said, and I don't know if I'm coming back. And she said, great, don't. Fine. And he storms off. And that was the whole conversation. Yeah. And so we're talking about this, and he's like, yeah, and so we had this big fight, and she won't take me back. I'm like, well, how do you know she won't take you back? And he told me the story again, because she said, fine, don't come back. I mean, she's just, you know, ask her. Say, can I come back? You know, just go to her. And he's explaining this whole thing, and he, in his mind, it's like he's stuck in this spot, and there's nothing he can do to salvage things. You go back to her and you apologize and you beg her to take you back and you tell her what a jerk you were and you tell her you will never treat her that way again and you tell her that you love her and that you're going to show her unconditional love. No matter how hard it is to love her, you're going to love her and you're going to love the kids and you're going to stay there and you're going to work it out and you're going to be committed to it because that's what a Christian would do. You can't just storm off and be a baby. And he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. It's like, how can you not think you're a Christian? And that's where it's like there's this disconnect sometimes. And he went back to her, and of course she took him back. And they're still married, I don't know, 10 or 15 years later. And I don't know if they're both following Jesus like they should. But if they were, there'd be so much healing and they'd be in a great marriage and things would be wonderful now. I kind of suspect that they're still kind of struggling along and limping through life. But that's where the real change comes, is when we're like, I'm not going to do what's easy for me. I'm not going to do what's natural, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to live my life as a disciple. Here's how God says that men should treat women. And how husbands should treat wives. And so that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to do that. I want to yell at her. I want to have a big fight. I want to make a big deal out of this. No, humble yourself. Again, I think for the disciples, I think we saw Jesus there all the time. If we realize we're in his presence and if we saw ourselves as followers, boy, I think that would help. I think that would help with the disconnect. You know, can you imagine the disciples going out and ministering to people all day long and, you know, feeding the hungry and listening to Jesus teach and maybe helping make things happen as he's doing miracles and stuff? And it'd be so awesome. But can you imagine just going and doing that and then, you know, coming back from your disciple thing in the evening and like, okay, we're back at the camp or someone's house or something. Lean back against the tree, pop open my laptop, and I think I'll look at pornography for 25 minutes. It doesn't fit, right? I'm not saying they didn't have any struggles. You know, they still had struggles with anger and with pride and jealousy and competitiveness. And they still had stuff that they were working through, but just it's just hard for me to imagine just kind of that blatant, I'm just going to throw myself at stuff that just has nothing to do with following Jesus. I think we need to follow Jesus with that level of seriousness. And I think when change isn't coming in our lives, it's not because God's broken. And it's not because his ways are broken. It's just we don't want to follow. We want to believe and we want to go to heaven. I don't want to follow, especially the uncomfortable things. And so I guess my takeaway this morning is just I want to challenge you to be a disciple. A disciple who follows. I think you probably want that. I know I want that. I think you probably want the change that comes with that. But it's hard. It's like it's hard to follow the coach sometimes, you know. Sometimes his workout, it's like, yeah, you know, we've done workouts all summer without the coach. We have ideas. We know how things should go. Running track isn't that hard. You know, you don't need that much strategy. I think my idea is better than yours. And we go through life thinking that way sometimes. Really think. to see dramatic change in our lives. We've got to completely yield and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Well, Heavenly Father, I pray you would just help each one of us in that. God, even now, just I know that we have stuff that we wrestle with. We have strongholds. We know things that you've already asked us to do that we've been unwilling to do. God, I want to follow you. I want to live a transformed life. And I want that to be the experience for all of us. God, I think of how those 12 people just rocked the known world because they were transformed by you. God, would you use us just to even rock our little workplace or our little city? Because people would look at us and say, I see God at work in that person. God, we know that you're not broken. We know that your ways aren't broken. Help us to yield to your ways. Help us to experience the full life that you promise. Help us to experience freedom from sin, victory, and joy in the Christian life because we're following you. And that's bringing all those things. So we love you. Pray that you would help us on this journey. Pray this in Jesus' name.